Welcome to Inside World Football and Inside the Euros 2024. So we're done. The tournament is over. And the Spanish, worthy winners, played seven, won seven, and without a doubt, the team of the tournament. And as for my England, well, we'll get to that in a second. So, when we look back at the tournament very briefly, team of the tournament, of course, is the Spanish. I would say the revelation of the tournament was without a doubt Turkey, and was lucky enough to see them on three occasions. Two of them perhaps vying for game of the tournament, the first against Georgia and the second one against Austria. Both played in torrential downpours and both accompanied by the most electrifying atmosphere one could ever wish for. Player of the tournament, in my mind, no doubt, Rodri. Unfortunately, he got injured towards the end of the first half in the final yesterday and couldn't come out for the second half, but he was just magnificent. The first time I've seen him play live and not on TV, and honestly, when you get to watch him in the flesh, you realize just what a maestro he is. Save of the tournament, let's go with Mert Günok for that incredible last-ditch turn around the post against Baumgartner in the knockout round against Austria, winning 2-1 with no time left on the clock. Somehow he channeled his inner Gordon Banks, perhaps it was even better save than Banks, and turned around a header. Turned it around the post. Goal of the tournament, I'm going to have to give it to one of my boys, Jude Bellingham. He does have a lot of competition, but Bellingham was certainly the right man for the right moment in that dramatic game against Slovakia. So let's talk about England. And this is what the show is going to be about. Because I want to let you all know how joyful, but yet how painful it is supporting England. And this is a country that has not won on the men's side a major tournament since 1966. I was 2 years old, so unfortunately didn't get to enjoy it. And when I look at the English team over the years I've been alive, certainly gone through some differing stages. I think there was a time where we were certainly entitled. You know, we felt that we invented the game or certainly codified it. I think there was twinges of the empire, and perhaps that still holds true to this day, although I think that is slowly but surely changing. There was definitely a time when we were a joke, a number of times actually. Perhaps the last was in 2014, 2016. And now I just think people feel sorry for us. And the reason being is that we are somewhat lovable losers. If you ask people who their second favorite country is, it's usually Brazil. But third is England. And I can't tell you how many texts I've received over the last 24 hours. Hard luck, Mick. Bad luck, Gov. You'll do it next time. And I think that's what we say to ourselves every time. So I'm just going to go through the history of England and let you know how painful it is. Because during the final yesterday, after Spain had taken the lead, this was before we equalised, I looked at my son. He's 17, born in America, American accent, named him London. Not because I came from London, but just happened to be the name myself and my wife liked. And I looked at him and I could see something that I've felt in myself on many, many occasions. Pain. Pain at watching England play. And I realized that I've done it to him, haven't I? I've done it to him the same way I've done it to myself. I've given him England. It will always be with him. That pain. They say it's the hope that kills you. And they're probably right. But this is my journey with England. As I said, 66, I was too young. 1970, I was just 6 years old and didn't stay up for the live games. But I do have a kind of foggy memory of seeing Gerd Müller hooking the ball over Peter Benetti in the quarterfinals as we lost to the Germans, a theme that would haunt England and me again and again over the next 58 years. And it's not only in World Cups that we suffer. It's the Euros as well. Well, not called the Euros. Well, European Championships. In 72, we didn't qualify. I do remember that. Günter Netzer at Wembley just destroying us. And then, of course, the 1974 World Cup. Yeah. That was the first World Cup I really remember. And guess what? England didn't qualify because we had tied Poland at Wembley. The 1976 European Championships, guess what? We didn't qualify. Off to the 1978 World Cup, this one in Argentina. What a great World Cup that was. Except, we didn't qualify. Losing to Italy in Rome. It's funny though, in the qualifying, the first game I ever saw at Wembley Stadium, England versus Italy. Kevin Keegan and Trevor Brooking scored in that game, but unfortunately the damage had already been done, and so once again we didn't qualify, although that World Cup did provide one of my favourite World Cup moments. Wee Archie Gemmell slicing through the Dutch defence to make it 3-1, and Scotland dreaming of making it to the knockout rounds, but Johnny Rep soon crushed those dreams. 1980, finished third in the group stage at the Euros. 1982, off to Spain. And Brian Robson scoring the fastest ever goal in World Cup history. That record stood for a long time. Finally taken by Turkey in 2002. And England were actually quite good in the group stage, beating France, who were semi-finalists, 3-1 in their opening game. Unfortunately, the manager at the time, Ron Greenwood, took a couple of injured players to Spain, notably Trevor Brooking and Kevin Keegan, and they could not do the business. I guess that's the theme, isn't it? Taking injured players or players not 100% fit. In 84, the European Championships. Good tournament. Oh, that's right. We didn't qualify. 1986. The World Cup. Absolutely shocking in the group stages. And then the last game, Lineker scored a hat-trick. And then they went to the second round and played Paraguay. And Lineker scored two. And then the quarterfinals against Argentina. And, of course, the hand of God and perhaps the greatest goal ever scored in the World Cup finals by that same man, Mr. Diego Maradona. I was at my uncle's pub watching that game. I remember screaming at the TV, and then Lineker had a chance at the death and somehow it didn't go in, and it hurt again. 1988, the Euros. Oh, we finished bottom of the group. Got beaten by the Republic of Ireland and got royally turned over by the Dutch in the form of Marco van Basten. 1990, Bobby Robson once again started the group stage in appalling fashion, although we did turn it around against the Dutch in a 0-0 draw. And then something clicked. Gazza, Platt, Lineker, the game against Belgium, last-minute winner, the game against Cameroon, D down but not out and coming back on penalties, and then, of course, losing in the semi-final on penalties to the Germans. That one hurt a lot. It was my first World Cup in America, and I remember watching it on Univision or KMAX, one of those channels, because TNT, that had the rights, would, they'd go to commercial during the game. And I can vividly remember Stuart Pearce, his penalty getting saved by the legs, and then Waddle blasting his into the moon. We were desperately unlucky that day, though. And I have no doubt that that England team would have beaten Argentina in the final. No doubt whatsoever. But wasn't to be. So, 1992. Got our hopes up again. We're now managed by Graham Taylor. Oh, that's right. The European Championships finished bottom of the group stage. Well, surely we're going to qualify for the World Cup in 1994. Right here on my doorstep. The final will be played in the Rose Bowl. 20 miles from my house. But unfortunately, yep, we didn't qualify. Losing to the Dutch and Ronald Koeman. So I guess karma came around a little bit the other night in Dortmund. 1996, we're off to the Euros again. And football's coming home. Group stage wasn't great, but we did beat Scotland thanks to that famous Gazza goal. And really turned it on against the Dutch. Got lucky against the Spanish. Guess karma. And lost on penalties to, that's right, the Germans in the semi-finals. Gareth Southgate famously missing or having his penalty saved. That one hurt a lot because I'm pretty sure we would have beaten the Czech Republic in the final. I'm pretty sure that was a good team. 1998, back to the World Cup. We're now qualifying, and actually since 1998, we've qualified for every World Cup. Once again in the group stage, didn't do great. But against Colombia, Beckham scored that great penalty and, great free kick. And then, penalties again. Yeah, Argentina in the next round. Michael Owen with that wonder goal. And then, lost to Argentina. 2-2 game. Magnificent game of football, really. David Batty missing the penalty that mattered that time. So, once again, penalties. Eesh. 2000. Off to the Euros. This one in Belgium and Holland. And in the group stage, we did beat Germany. But Portugal waxed us. And, we didn't get out of the group. 2002, off to South Korea and Japan. And this was the first World Cup I actually got to cover in person. It's fantastic. Got to go to Sapporo and see David Beckham exercise the demons, scoring the only goal when we beat Argentina from the penalty spot. Big brave lad. We weren't great in the group stage again, but did enough. Which, in tournament football, is all you have to do. Beat Denmark with a great performance. Love that game. Remember the England fans doing a conga line of about 5,000 fans just conga lining around the stadium to the tune of The Great Escape. Good stuff. And then we lost to Brazil. Unfortunately, I was at that game as well. Opened the scoring. I think that's a theme. Michael Owen, and then Rolandinho with that shot that went over David Seaman. I was right behind him as well. I could see it just arcing its way in. 2004, off to Portugal. And lost to France in the opening game in Lisbon. Beckham had a chance to make it 2-0. And then, the great man, Zinedine Zidane, stabbed us. But that was the game the tournament that introduced Wayne Rooney to me. In the final group game against Croatia, Rooney was perhaps the most spectacular player I'd ever seen at that particular point. completely unplayable. Magnificent. Unfortunately, we then lost to Portugal in the quarterfinals. Rooney got injured, and we lost to Portugal on penalties. That one stung because we had a good team, a really good team, and I'm convinced we would have beaten Greece in the final. Yeah, that one hurt. Off to 2006. Once again, the group stages pretty poor. I got to see a couple of games in the group stage, and then the round of 16 against Ecuador. Not a great game, but did enough. And then off the Gelsenkirchen that I revisited a month ago to play Portugal. That was the game that Wayne Rooney stepped on the knackers of Carvalho and got himself red carded, and 10 men England hanging on. And of course, we lost on penalties to Portugal, and Ronaldo did his thing, and Ikes. 2008, I was looking forward to that one in Switzerland and Austria, but yeah, we did not qualify. 2010, South Africa, well, the less said about that, the better. Losing to Germany in the round of 16, but it really was just a horrible performance all around. I was at that game. Frank Lampard did get robbed, but Germany was much better than we were. Much better. 2012. Yeah, European Championships. Lost in the quarterfinals to Italy on penalties. I was driving through, I think, Massachusetts or somewhere in New England anyway, and listening to the game on the radio. And as it got to penalties, we found a bar and stopped, and my son was with me. He was only 5. He didn't really care about it then. My wife knew how much it meant. And sat there and watched the penalties. And, of course, Pirlo with his Panenka. And, another tournament by the wayside. 2014, off we went to Brazil and finished bottom of the group. Bottom of the group. I mean, that's shocking, isn't it? In Brazil. Oh, that one hurts. I think that's when we became a laughingstock, and that tag was truly cemented in 2016 when we lost to Iceland. So, a lot of pain. Few moments of ecstasy, but yeah, just a lot of pain. And then 2018 comes along and Gareth Southgate takes over the England manager position. And he does something. He makes the team feel good about themselves. And we start playing a little bit, actually. It's quite a good run in 2018. Played some good stuff. We beat Colombia in the round of 16 on penalties, which was just, that was incredible. I remember being down the cock and ball for that one. Couldn't believe it. We were behind in the penalty shootout, and then somehow we won it. And perhaps should have beaten Croatia. We did take the lead. A magnificent Trippier free kick. This was in the semi-finals, but then did the Southgate thing and kind of sat back and let Croatia have their way with us. That was another one. Could we have beaten France in the final? France were very good, but one-off game, you never know. 2020, the Euros. Well, it didn't happen in 2020. It happened in 2021. And made it all the way to the final. Some great games along the way. Very exciting. Got a little lucky here and there, especially against Denmark and Italy. Watched that game in a bar in Mexico. And Luke Shaw scoring after a couple of minutes. I thought this was it. I really did. We were decent. Italy weren't great. But somehow fell back. And Italy equalized. It goes to penalties. And we all know what happens next. Rashford, Sancho, Saka. And, yeah, we're runners-up again. Takes us off to Qatar in 2022. And once again, we're decent in the group stages. Put together some good performances, other than the nil-niller against the US. But really good. And then against France, Kane has a chance to tie it up. 2-2 with just minutes to go. And smashes his penalty over the bar. But we were better than France. We played some really good football. And I thought that may have been the moment that all of England, fans, pundits, players, said, yeah, we do have what it takes. Which brings us to European Championships this time around. And yeah, let's be honest, we weren't a very good team. Great individuals and no shortage of drama. But once again, couldn't get over the line. And watched this one at my mate's Adam's house. And yeah, super painful. And that's what it's like. The pain of being an England fan really is so hard to quantify, but it is really, really painful. Because you want them to do well. You need them to do well. You'd love for them to do well. For the players, for the managers, for the fans, but really, for yourself. I mean, over the last 58 years, I've watched the Germans dominate, and the Spanish dominate, and the French, and the Argentinians, and the Brazilians. I mean, for crying out loud, even Greece and Portugal have won Euros. I've seen Croatia, a country of 3 million people, become nearly the best team in the world. And yet England, we just can't do it. People talk about the weight of the shirt. And I think that's got something to do with it. I also think it's probably the pessimistic nature of 60 million people and that energy that surrounds the team. And then, of course, you know, you can point the fingers at different coaches. I mean, think of all the coaches I've seen. Ron Greenwood, Bobby Robson, love Bobby Robson, but even he was vilified. Kevin Keegan, Graham Taylor, Glenn Hoddle, Terry Venables, Sven-Goran Eriksson. There was the Italian, forgotten his name. There was lovable Roy Hodgson. There was Sam Allardyce for a game. And now, Gareth Southgate. And Southgate has probably gone. And while he's turned around the fortunes of England in terms of, I think, the fans loving the players more and the players wanting to play for England, tactically, he's come up short on four occasions now with actually a very, very good squad. So now we look to 2026 and the World Cup here in America. I think we've got a great core of players. And if we can find the right manager, someone who is loyal but cutthroat, who's not afraid to make the big call before the game, not during it, not reacting, not panicking. And perhaps it will be an anniversary, 60 years of hurt. That's a long time to be in pain. But wouldn't it be something if England could do it right here on our very doorstep? We can only hope and dream. But as they've said many times, it's the hope that kills you. But anyway, I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast, and hopefully we're going to keep the podcast going. So I want to thank a few people who have made this happen. Certainly Paul Nicholson, the editor-in-chief at Inside World Football, who very graciously got me the credential to go out to Europe, where I enjoyed, I think, 14 or 15 matches in person. It really was sensational being out in Germany. I want to thank Ollie and Anna for being brilliant hosts. Let me stay in their apartment in Cologne, and Knut, their son, for giving up his computer room. I want to thank the missus for supporting me. And yeah, behind me the whole way. And the many friends, oh my God, too many to list, who sent me texts of joy and condolences every time England played. And my son, London, I love you, kid. I'm sorry I've done it to you. Hopefully you don't have to wait as long as me, 58 years and counting. Maybe you'll only wait 19 years, and that'd be amazing. But I want the last word. The last word's going to go to a friend of mine, Chris Ball. Chris is perhaps England's greatest fan. I don't think he's missed a major tournament since 1982. That means he goes to them all. Chris and I have known each other about 20-something years now. And at the end of every tournament, I mean, we text and send pictures throughout tournaments, which is great. But the end of every tournament, he says to me, "Nick, I'm done. I just can't do it anymore. It's too painful." And every time I send him a text back, "Chris, I know I'll see you there next time." So, Mr. Ball, save the date. July 17th, 2026, New York City, MetLife Stadium. And that's where 60 years of hurt will fall.